Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and this is Here Be Monsters Radio on Blog Talk Radio. This is our Sunday show at 6 p.m., and I'm here with Jeff Jodell and Wayne Johnson, and we're going to do a roundtable discussion in the next 2 weeks. I'd like to note that next weekend we have the author, Cliff Sauterain, who will be from Nova Scotia, who will be with us to talk about his projects up there to save the woods. And the following week, we have Stuart Alexander, a notable socialist candidate for president in the past, and has the heir of Marta Veo left progressive show Wednesday evenings on Air Marta Feo on Blog Talk Radio. How you doing, guys?
Pretty good. Spring is here. Summer's almost here. It's beautiful outside today, and everything's right with the world, at least from my viewpoint right here. But we have a lot of things on the horizon that aren't so right, you know, in Trump world and all that stuff. But we'll get to that.
It's nice to hear that. Someone say, well, things are really nice, that the sky is blue, and we're getting hit with the deluge here. Our what we call the mean season down here is in full swing about a month early with, I think there's a tropical system loosely forming in the Gulf area coming up from Mexico, the border of eastern border of Mexico, which is dumping a lot of water on us. In fact, we won't have a dry day this coming week as far as the...
Wow.
Yeah.
It's almost nice. Like Hurricane Donald.
There you go.
Our weather is not what it used to be at all, but there you go. Part of the
changing all over the place.
Yeah, the climate change symptoms are. How about that eruption, Kilauea on Oahu? Yeah, I have dear friends who live on the top of Hawaii, the Big Island, and of course they're not in the way of the lava. They're about 60 miles from it, but
that's close enough.
Yeah, the lava flow and the earthquakes it creates is what is kind of shaky. There's a lot of earthquakes going on in Hawaii right now because of it. They're not huge, but they're big enough that every time, you know, you turn the corner, you're getting a tremble. And if you've ever been around an earthquake, even the smaller ones, like I was as a kid out in California, it's scary. The ground moves.
And it's very different. But also, too, I was standing on morning watch, 4 in the morning to 8, off the coast of Catania, Sicily, and that's where Mount Etna is. And I was telling a cousin of mine, probably one of the most beautiful sights I've ever seen in my early 20s, was the sunrise coming up over the horizon, bright sun, the light reflecting just brilliantly off the new fallen snow that had fallen on Mount Etna the night before, and the red glow of the eruption where she was gurgling that morning.
Wow, that would be unique.
There was no way I could have ever captured that on a camera, but it is well embedded into my mind.
Yeah.
I imagine that was really quite beautiful. If you take a look at the lava shots, it's fascinating to see. I saw a video where someone actually put one of those GoPro cameras in the crevice where the lava was coming. And you know that camera stood up to the lava after it covered it. for about 30 seconds, and you got to see what the lava was doing. It was wild.
Wow. That would be different.
Yeah. That's no, those GoPro cameras can go anywhere. They can do anything. It's like you can take those things off world and they work, you know?
That's reminiscent of those tornado watchers or storm watchers or whatever they call themselves that go around in these very, very sturdy contraptions and they try to get inside of a tornado as it's passing over.
Tornadoes scare the hell out of me, Jack.
They're horrible.
I saw one come down one year in the 90s, come down out of the sky. I was driving on I-95 down here in Florida, and I saw it come down. I saw it touch land. I saw it grow and start to move in my direction.
Uh-huh.
I pulled off and dove into a culvert on the side of the road.
Yeah.
I was, you know, and a lot of other people pulled over too and got out of the car and got, you know, and looked for a place to be. I guess that weather is, it's just gotten more vicious, it's gotten bigger than I can remember it ever being. I mean, we didn't have this. It's like there's a scale on tornadoes, 1 to 5, 5 being the finger of God, a huge one. They had 5, number 5 tornadoes touching down in our Midwest in what they call, I guess, Tornado Alley. And that affected, you know, geez, devastating.
Very devastating. It destroys everything in its path. It's just They're smaller in scope than hurricanes, but they're every bit as deadly, if not more so, because they're so concentrated.
Well, we get now in the midst of our hurricanes here, like when Irma came through, we had tornadoes.
Yeah.
And I've been around water spouts. I grew up on the water. I've been around water spouts a couple of times, and they're just as horrifying. They really are, but the thing with a water spout is it can go up and all of a sudden it just drops down. You know, like nothing ever happened. But these little tornadoes that spin out and get bigger out of our hurricanes in the last couple of years are frightening too.
Yeah, that's scary.
And then now in Minnesota, what kind of weather do you get besides the...
Well, we get tornadoes, too, not quite as frequently or quite as early or quite as late in the year as other parts of the country. Definitely not as bad as Kansas or, you know, that part of the country. The Great Plains down there, they get nailed with tornadoes. In Oklahoma and stuff, they get nailed, too. But we get them, but they're usually less severe. And the last one that came anywhere near... South Minneapolis was, I think, 65 a long time ago, and it cut a swath through the area a little bit, but it wasn't totally devastating. But I mean, it made its presence felt. There's no doubt about it. But we get occasional once in a while we'll hear the air raid sirens go off, and it means there's tornadoes been spotted in the area somewhere, and but by and large, it's pretty quiet. We get, you know, the occasional hard rain and that sort of thing, and God knows we get snow and ice and all that stuff. But as far as summertime storms and that, we just get your normal, you know, thunderstorms, and once in a while we'll have 2 or 3 days of solid rain, but not too much. We don't get many floods and all that sort of thing, thank goodness. So we're pretty insulated from a lot of the really horrible weather.
Yeah, it's incredible how weather is shifting on this planet. As if,
yeah, if I may, you know, growing up in the Mid-Atlantic, Maryland, most of my whole life, we never ever had tornadoes except for in the last 5 to 7 years, tornadoes have started showing up in Maryland. I'm talking about on the Delmarva Peninsula, on the Chesapeake Bay, you know, that kind of stuff. Totally, totally unheard of.
Yeah.
Things have changed climate-wise.
That's very true. Well, it was another spectacular news week. If you watch news in the evening later on any of the extended cable channels, you'll hear them saying, well, there's breaking news as we're speaking to you.
Almost every night.
It's gotten really strange. But this weekend, there was a pause in the ridiculous and the terrifying. There's just enough little girl left in the old blender here that I was just charmed by watching the big wedding.
That was beautiful. Beautiful ceremony.
And American actress Meghan Markle. It was pretty stunning. A lot of people are making it a political fol-de-rol.
They have nothing better to do. It was a beautiful ceremony. It was that couple is in love. There's no doubt about it. And she's remarkably beautiful. She's stunningly beautiful.
Yeah.
Best is for the climate that we have in this country of all the Klan and the neo-Nazis claiming they're going to take your country back. Black DNA is now in the royal family.
Yeah,
good for
that's
them.
Incredible.
Good for
that's,
them.
Screw
what
a breakthrough.
Some cards that say otherwise.
What a breakthrough.
Yeah, we consider that the first American to slip in under the doorway, as it were, was Wallace Simpson, who turned out to be a social climbing catastrophe for America and for Britain. When you consider that she's an African-American young lady, that she, her infusion of her culture and tradition into the wedding service itself.
Yes, it was wonderful hearing them sing Benny King's Stand By Me and Amen and all those beautiful spiritual type of songs that the black choir sang quite magnificently, I thought. Just beautiful job.
Yeah. And the preacher, and he quoted one of my favorite authors, T.L. Hard, Desjardins, and I thought, oh my God, consciousness is shifting. And of course, he quoted MLK and his quotes on love.
Right.
It was pretty fabulous to see that. It was pretty fabulous to note too that the whole ceremony was subtly interwoven with memory of his mother. She carried forget-me-nots. Two of the stones on her engagement ring belonged to the Princess Diana. It was, there's enough
and
little.
And part of her tiara was made in 1903 or something. Part of the stones in it, and it struck me how old Prince Charles looks. He looks just absolutely terrible. God Almighty, he looked as old as his father, for God's sake.
He's getting on. You do realize now that when the Queen crosses, when she passes, it will be Prince William who will become the monarch.
He married a divorcee. Was that the reason?
No. He renounced his claim for rulership out of his own free will.
I didn't know that.
I don't know if you guys are aware, but I have friends in Britain, and I've been to Britain many times and stayed there, spent time. I know something of it, and I don't know if you're aware of the Prince's Trust, which has been his life's work, and it has accomplished a great deal in Britain and in all of the monarchy's lands, from Canada to Australia to all kinds of good deeds. And most of it has been with climate change, on the principles of farming and building schools, and just an amazing amount of things that he's done. The Prince's Trust is a huge thing in Britain. Many programs out of it. And that's been his life's work. But he has no real desire to rule.
Interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah, it's William who will step up, the eldest, and take over the monarchy. And that's according to whether or not the people of Britain still wish to have a monarchy, because they're given that choice in vote occasionally, every generation or so. Would you like to disconnect from the monarchy? And the British people don't want to. The people of the kingdoms always keep them in. And the only place I can really see on this planet where if the people were given their real true wish of getting rid of a monarchy would be someplace like Saudi Arabia. I mean,
right.
The wedding was beautiful. There was a big to-do about the Queen had to deal with whether or not to allow foreign diplomats, dignitaries, and heads of state to come, because, frankly, the thing was that Harry and William have a very close relationship with who? Barack Obama. And they wanted him there. And it became a big to-do, because then, you know, Trump would be upset. And because there were heads of state there, they just weren't, you know, they weren't, there was no pomp and circumstance of it. It was only if they were related. so the Obamas did not go to the wedding. And that sucked, you know, because that young man wanted him there. And especially when you consider the fact that the woman he's marrying is biracial, like Obama.
Exactly. And you know, I would almost bet that Meghan wanted him there, and it didn't happen. But that's the way it is.
Well, you know, the royal family of Britain, the Windsors, are really close to Michelle and Barack Obama. They really
right.
are.
Yeah.
Beyond any kind of statecraft or anything like that, they're actually buddies. They're friends.
Well,
and
the Obamas are very, very well educated and good people.
Yes.
Oh, they're just, you know, fine people.
Yeah.
You know, they're good people are good people. Bad people are bad people. And when it's a state occasion, like any wedding of a royal actually is in the cutoff, you have to consider all those things. So they weren't able to have their buddies there, and that sucks because of this asshole. But, you know, also another thing, you see a lot of people saying, you know, well, the monarchy is total shit. They're the 1% and all that. Well, the monarchy does.
But they do.
You know.
They are benevolent, and they do look after people. Maybe they could do more. We can debate that all day and all night. But I think they're as far as monarchs go, they're very benevolent and they're very people-oriented.
Yeah, and the places on Earth where you find communities that are most harmonious, where the educational programs and opportunities for every citizen, state-aligned businesses that are given and new projects are given great support. The farming techniques that they've kept so well over there are, you know, they're monarchies. Monarchies are usually just, you know, states that are basically being run by a democratic system of some sort with elected officials. With the monarchy, it's just a titular head of it.
And
has no real, you know, political thrust into the system itself.
They're forbidden by law in Britain to take part in politics.
That's correct. They are not
Isn't
allowed.
Isn't that incredible?
That's absolutely correct.
That's probably a good thing.
They also never sent an invitation to the prime minister either. So that was
Oh,
noted.
No kidding. Interesting.
Yeah. Not when you know those boys. I mean, they're mother's boys. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And the way that they provided the Spencer family so much a part of it was really, you know, pretty cool.
It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it was. It was really beautiful. And so was, as you said, Jack, the singing and the hymns and the whole put together, the whole thing.
It was very inclusive. I thought that was just beautiful.
Really, it was. Yeah, I'm gushing.
It was on every network. Wayne, did you have a chance to tune in at all on any of that stuff yesterday?
I did. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I get up like at 5 in the morning, so my body clock was wide awake, and I always just sleep with the TV running. So, yes, I woke
right
up to it, you know, all the prompt and circumstances, you know, in the wee hours of the morning. So.
Yeah, yeah. It was on quite early, that's right, yeah, because of the time differential.
I'm an hour ahead of you, Jack.
Yeah, it was like 3 a.m. It was like 3 a.m. when all of that started. Well, has anybody kept up with what Dumbo's up to today on Twitter?
Well, he's complaining that the FBI implanted that. Actually, it was an American, but it was over in England, into the middle of their campaign. Of course, like I said, it's well known now, and I've so told you both privately. All of our intelligence agencies have recordings of Trump. They were recording and listening to what they knew were foreign enemy agents.
Uh-huh.
And then Trump calls in, and his staff and the team stuff are calling now these enemy agents and soliciting treasonous acts against our country.
Well, it was part of an ongoing investigation that they had already put in place. And they're goddamn lucky that didn't come out during the end game of the election, because basically I think they should have informed the American people of it. I really do.
Yeah.
I blame Obama being, you know, the even-handed, can't swing either way, fair man type of bullshit that was going on there.
Yeah.
I don't know what was in his head. But now Trump's demanding that the DOJ look into whether FBI infiltrated or surveilled this campaign. Well, of course they were looking at him because he was guilty.
They should have. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, like I said, this case with Mueller, and we got to get them to stop this with a witch hunt. No, they've got recordings.
No, keep it going.
He knows he's guilty. What Mueller is doing is building the case to take it to court of his treasonous acts.
Absolutely.
And all those involved.
And you know, this so-called witch hunt has
wrong.
Yielded results. It's yielded indictments. It's yielded convictions. It's yielded confessions. It should not be stopped. It should be continued.
Well, you know, and for those of us who are old enough to remember, Richard Nixon and that whole Watergate thing, it's almost a verbatim Me Too. The only thing is Nixon wasn't so blatantly lying about anything and everything at the time.
Right.
You know, I mean, this guy has taken that aspect to new levels never before and ever seen, beyond absurdity.
Yeah.
Well, let's face it here, though. Nixon did stuff that Trump is trying to outlandishly do right now. I mean, Nixon tried to make the branches of government his personal weapons against those who were against him.
Right, exactly. But Trump has succeeded a lot more further along than Nixon ever did.
Well, if you remember, Jack, it was 2 years in his second term. It was Nixon was in 2 years his second term before we finally got rid of him.
Right.
You know, now, whether Trump will get reelected, who knows, by the way they've gerrymandered the whole system and suppressing voters' rights and things, what's going to come out.
Well, we'll know a lot more after this November's elections, I think. Don't you, Wayne?
Well, yes. And the thing is people have got to wake up and change that Congress. Get it flipped right now.
That's right. I think it's going to happen.
Our democracy is probably screwed.
Yeah. Well, the Republican agenda, its big tax cuts and all that shit, has been met. They have nothing left to offer to stand for, to run on anymore. so they're bereft of any kind of electoral enticements for people, whereas the Democrats have plenty to run on, and I'm sure they will, and I expect them to win quite heavily this fall. I hope. We need a change, big time.
Well, I would suggest now, and I am going to be ongoing. I mean, I gave a mouthful to the DCC, worker who called me to get me signed on to help out with phone calls and that kind of thing in the next round of elections. But everybody needs to do their best. And if you have any time to give to make phone calls, to register voters, anything you can do, because we need to push this out. We need to get the right people voted in to Congress and into the open Senate seats. There's just no other way about it.
The nice thing is this time around, there's a lot more women running. A lot greater percentage of women will be occupying those seats.
If they win. And that's the other thing.
And I think they will.
The reason Hillary lost on such slim margins was because people stayed home instead of voting.
Yeah. And part of that may have been engineered by the Trump forces. We don't know yet. There's talk about it. I saw it this morning on one of the shows. They were trying to find out ways to keep the liberals who were against Hillary from voting, and I think to a certain extent they succeeded.
Well, I know that while we still have elections, and I'm saying that seriously, while we still have elections, we need to get out and vote. And there's just no excuse for not doing it. You have to get it
done. Absolutely.
And they're making it so hard for people to register. They're making it so hard. The same old from Republicans. Republicans, they need to be thumped. They need to be gone. That's, you know, they're not a viable party any longer. They're nothing but, as far as I can tell, the majority of them are profiteering, treasonous bastards who need to be thrown out of office. And that goes for the men, the women, and the dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, you take a look at some of these people like the batshit crazy broad that keeps getting reelected in North Carolina. You know, the old booby head that's always standing.
You mean Hill? Her name's Hill? Virginia Hill?
I think so.
She's wacko.
I mean, yeah, they need to be gone. People who seem to think that they're a haters party. They're the nothing. They're a haters party. And they're fast becoming an American Nazi movement. As far as their goals and what they put out there, I mean, their messages are designed to bait people into hateful situations. It's incredible. And
it's then destructive, not constructive.
Yes, it's division, and it's the other thing I like laughed when I first heard it. Trump has apparently got a campaign underway to get himself nominated for a Nobel Prize because he's bringing up Kim Jong-un.
Oh, my latest post is on that, and what a joke that is.
Nobel panel is not going to nominate him for diddly squat. It doesn't matter who in Congress put him up. You know, hey, we want to submit his name. They're going to look at it, do a big freaking crazy, and throw the paper over their shoulders. Next.
First place, Kim Jong-un, there's a possibility he may not even have that summit. He pulled out on the one in South Korea. That was bad. And he may pull out on Donald Trump, too. We'll see.
Well, this is what they've always done in the past. I said it before. He's getting ready to chump Trump. And I hope he does, actually. I would rather see some kind of settling down. But who's going to sit at the table for us? I don't really want that man sitting at the table for us.
He's too unstable. He's too wacko.
Right. And speaking of that, he keeps putting more wackos into job service around him. I mean, it's got Bolton out there, you know, talking war on every avenue in front, which is not good.
This horrible Pruitt guy. He's taking advantage of everything he possibly can to benefit himself. What a disgusting! These aren't public servants, assholes. Plain and simple.
They're profiteers. They're profiteers.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's as if the ghost of Tammany Hall rose up out of New York and marched into D.C. with Boss Trump.
It's just corruption. It's just corruption at its highest level.
And
pervasive.
It's open, and he's playing the game of speaking louder and using the same buzzwords over and over again to keep his people in line. And it's just it's infuriating, and the pall that it's put over the country and over the globe.
It's quintessential Orwellian newspeak of what we're hearing out of the Trump and administration today. It is science fiction has a unique way of becoming science fact. It is propaganda, pure and simple.
Yeah.
Wayne, did you ever imagine in your lifetime you would see a vast change in the Republican Party the way we've seen in the last generation and a half? I mean, they have gone so far off to the right, they're almost off the political table.
No, it's not so far off the right. They have just jumped full force into idiocy.
Yeah,
ignorance and extremism.
And
nihilistic hate.
Yes.
I would have never dreamed my Republican Party, the party that my parents raised me up in, would ever do this batshit crazy. I am ashamed of them.
Yes, it's incredible.
Well, and there's backstory on the China-U.S. trade wars that our Secretary of the Treasury is trying to say has been put on hold. I doubt it.
Oh, Mnuchin's so full of bullshit. He's another Trumpist. You can't believe a damn thing he says. He's a liar, too. And he's a profiteer, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely true.
Yeah. He had to impress his new bride, so he forced a military jet to fly he and his new bride to Fort Knox so he could be photographed holding a big, freshly run bunch of dollar bills. I mean, the guy is just disgusting.
Yeah, and all of the different elements of the harder and the more coarse Trump gets in his tweets and in his pushing of the DOJ and all of this is because
declaring war on the FBI. Give me a break.
You know, every psychologist I'm sure would tell you this is very Freudianly exposing his guilt.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Whatever you're complaining the loudest and most about, comma, is exactly what you are.
Exactly right. It's projection.
Yes, that's what's going on. It's basically this investigation is uncovering and more factual evidence about the collusion. This is his big word, you know. There was no collusion. This is just a witch hunt. The Democrats are upset because it's a Democrat conspiracy because they're upset they lost the election. Well, you know, when you have, as Jack said, when you have indictments and you already have people confessing and going to trial and being, you know,
convicted,
it's going to be real. Yeah. But his people, his peanut gallery, and what kills me is the media keeps making such a big deal of his, you know, popularity with his, peanut gallery and all this. Let me tell you what, there are very few Americans that believe Trump left anymore. Is somebody playing a bongo drum or something?
Yeah, what is that I hear?
Yeah. Okay.
No, I don't hear it.
Yeah, well, we caught Wayne doing whatever he was doing.
I'm sorry. Someone asked me a pertinent question, and I was answering it. My bad.
No, we were talking about the, there was a bump, 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 like someone was playing a, anyways, it stopped. The thing that's really pushing the whole conversation right now is Willie's popular with the Republicans. You know what? I question that seriously. The majority of people in this country do not trust him. The majority of people in this country knows that he's a fraud and that he's pulled the wool, you know?
He's a con man.
Well, at least you can pull all the people some of the time, and you can pull some of the people, you can pull some of the people all the time and some of the people all the time, but you can't pull all the people all the time. And
right.
People realize that point, especially with all the facts that are coming out now from a true investigation that Mueller's doing, and basically news agencies and the lawyer for Stormy Daniels is, you know, bringing out from excerpts exactly from after raiding the Trump's personal lawyer's office. And all
Rudy Giuliani is a piece of shit. He's a big damn liar, too. He's a big showboater just like Trump.
He's being paid to be a piece of shit.
He's just like Trump. He's a big showboater.
Yes, yes. Well stated.
I
like that.
He's not very intelligent either.
He thinks he is.
He's admitted that. Yeah, Trump had sex with the Trump paid payments to her before anybody else would say they were trying to deny it all. And he'd come out, oh, yeah, it all happened. You know,
Giuliani is just another freaking.
He's disgusting.
But Michael, is his name Cervantes? Who was the Stormy Daniels?
Amirati.
He's done more to bust open the truth, and they say that there's an undercurrent that Mueller is a bit upset because he is outing a lot of what is in the investigation. Well, good. It needs to come out. Mueller
needs to
passing gear and get this stuff on a damn table.
I don't believe this talk about he and Avenatti having some kind of Avenatti or whatever his name is having some kind of outs, because I think that's just rumor being circulated to drive a wedge between the two of them. Anything they can do to discredit the investigation is what they're trying to do.
I never thought of that, but that is to drive a wedge between them. I think you may have something there.
Yeah.
That would be perfect.
That's about their speed.
The Trump side aspect. Very
well,
good.
You know, there's a bunch of those old Nixonian bastards camped in that Oval Office right now that are leading a lot of this backtracking stuff. And they weren't real smart people to begin with.
No.
I'm just wondering when the John Dean is going to step forward out of this crowd, you know, and say no, and just step forward with the information.
Well,
it sure as hell won't be Kelly Ann Conway or con job, or it won't be Sarah Huckster Slanders. They're brainwashed idiots and dolts. I have no respect for them, either one of those at all.
Their word wouldn't carry what a secretary or a cabinet member's word would,
right,
or even a lawyer to the president, their word would hold. These people are throwaways. Those people you speak of are throwaways.
Yeah.
They're just, you know, the fly for the hook to get the fish. I mean, they're not important. What is important and what would be valuable, someone like a John Dean stepping forward and saying, you know, that's it. I've had enough.
Well, John Dean was one of the president's counsel, Nixon's counsel members, and not counsel, but counsel, lawyer attribute. And that's why what he had to say was so devastating. Plus, he offered up stuff that they hadn't even known about, like enemies lists and stuff like that. No one knew about that till he offered it up, and then all of a sudden, whoa, made all the difference in the world.
I guarantee Trump's got an enemy list.
Oh, well, and the thing was that there were a few reporters around besides Woodstein that were onto it. One of them famously was, the Rolling Stone reporter, Hunter Thompson. He Gonzo knew. He knew shit. Because he partied in with a lot of those Nixonian rap and he knew what kind of hanky-panky was being pulled, and he knew that Nixon was trying to use branches of government to slice into what he called his enemies, because he was at the tail end of a lot of it, too. But a lot of reporters were. A lot of reporters were maligned and given problems in their careers and stuff because of shit Nixon's administration pulled off.
Right.
So it wasn't as if it was all tamped down quiet. He really was a crook.
He was, no doubt about it.
Yeah, but I think this one here is going to make Nixon look like a rookie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. No, Trump, and the thing is, if Trump had half the brains that he thinks he does, he would really be dangerous. He's dangerous in and of himself because he's so unpredictable and so crazy. But if he had half the brains that he thinks he has, he would really be devious and he'd really be something to be feared. Right now, he's just an absolute moronic disgrace, and he's antagonizes everybody in the world who has a brain. And he just pisses the whole world off, and you can't get away with that forever.
But I would remind you, look what he has accomplished because the Republicans were waiting for him, and look at all the deregulation that's going on. Look
that's
at
not
all,
good, yeah.
I'm going
to say, Trump has done more damage to the working middle class and rules and regulations, the environmental plans, everything like that.
He's done more damage to the planet than anyone else.
He sure has.
In hundreds of years, in a matter of a year. And complicit in this is the Republican friggin' party.
Yeah, they've been against against regulation ever since right after Teddy Roosevelt was in office, and that's over 100 years ago now.
Yes, yes.
They need to be indicted. They need to be brought up to account. These Republicans need to be brought up to account. Guys like McConnell and Ryan need to be held accountable.
Yes, I couldn't agree more.
And the first thing you do is cut their money. You slice their fucking salaries. You take it away. And no pension.
Mm-hmm.
No pension whatsoever. It's like this sheriff down here in Broward County who did not take action while those kids were being slaughtered in Parkland. He retired because of all of the bad publicity within a week. He's getting an $8,000 a month pension check. No. Excuse me. There has to be accountability.
Let me refresh your memory, because I've told this story many times. The family friend, Eugene Lovell, got his law degree from Johns Hopkins. He was also a school teacher. Because of the school teacher aspect, he was a family friend with my dad, who was a school teacher there in Caroline County. He was the lawyer for Norm Gardner, who was the CIA agent that Ollie North reported to. When Ollie North landed after the Iran-Contra stinky came out, Ollie North landed at Reagan National Airport. Somebody walked up to him, gave him a piece of paper with a phone number on it. Ollie went over to the payphone, called it, and basically, this is straight from Lovell's mouth, said they got their stories together. It was Casey, Norm Gardner, and Ollie North on the phone, on the three-way phone. And basically said, they got their lies together. And the deal was made at that moment that if Ollie North took the fall, he would never have to work another day in his life. What has Ollie North just been appointed to? Head of the NRA.
Isn't that insane?
For that, he had a radio talk show, ultra-conservative,
yep,
spouting bullshit. He really didn't work.
He's a scoundrel.
Annual paycheck.
He's a scoundrel.
Corporate donations and corporate funding, and now he's head of the NRA. He made out huge financially by taking that fall for Reagan, Casey, and Norm Gardner, who the family friend, Eugene Level, took great pride in. Out of all those who were involved in the Iran-Contra, Norman Gardner, who was the CIA agent, did not get indicted.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's what I know to be fact and true.
I have a
personal letter that was written from Norton Gardner to Eugene Level, thanking him for all of his help and services to him during that investigation in his own handwriting.
When people say that, you know, Trump has all his populism going for him and la, la, la.
Oh, that's a myth.
Let me tell you what, though, it does have, what has happened in the last year and a half. In the last year and a half, through the election and on through this year of his being in office, for years, for 20 years or better, it has been socially unacceptable to be racist, to be bigoted, to treat other people in this country like they were, you know, dehumanized because somebody thought they weren't white enough or whatever.
And Trump's kind of made that okay with those idiots again now.
Well, and those idiots are being – I give you a case in point. I mean, there's just so many of them. But this past week has been a real collage of them. There's one guy. His name is Aaron something. He's a lawyer in New York City. He walked into the Fresh Kitchen to get his lunch next to the building where his offices were. And the cashier was working, but she was also talking to a couple of her friends, and they were having a conversation in Spanish. And he went on a rant that got, you know, videoed and put up, and saying he was going to call ICE and how he paid his taxes.
It
was tax money that was paying for these people and that it was wrong and yada, yada, yada. Just typical alt-right bullshit. And the New Yorkers don't put up with that kind of crap. They really don't. I mean, yesterday, the people of New York the day it happened, somebody put up a GoFundMe page to hire a mariachi band that went good. Two elected officials in New York made sure he was evicted from his building, and now he's up for disbarment because of his insults. And this was not an isolated event. There's videos on YouTube of him being nasty to people in the street because of their color, their race, you know, anything that bugs them. And the protesters got after him with hiring a mariachi band. And there's a crowd out front of his home building is playing to him, you know, for endlessly for I don't know how long. I mean, that's getting back the right way, if you ask me. That's a wonderful way to protest somebody. But
I thought it was brilliant. I love it.
His name is Aaron Schlossberg, and he lives on West 60th Street near 10th Avenue. And there's give or take 100 people out there protesting and telling his landlord to throw him out of his home. You know, New York City is one of the highest multicultural cities on the planet. Get away with that kind of thing. And New Yorkers, whether they're black, white, yellow, brown, whatever, New Yorkers are, in my experience over many years and having lived there, New Yorkers are decent people, and they stick up for one another. They look out for each other. And as many cities across all over the world do for each other. But in New York, people are, you know, they don't take shit. They do not take shit. If you were to walk by a group of Puerto Ricans and make a slur, it's all the more likely that the white man in the suit standing in front of you said, "What did you say?"
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's New York. And my point in all of this is not to just harp on Aaron Schlossberg. It's about all of these. The girl who this past week went by a Minneapolis park and called the police because a black family was barbecuing in the park at a barbecue.
And, oh, utterly ridiculous, yeah.
And they didn't answer her call because it was kind of ridiculous. And she kept on staying on the phone and calling back up. And so one of the girls from the group started videoing her with her phone saying, "What's your problem?" You know?
Well, by the way, this was a white woman videotaping the other white, the asshole white woman for harassing the guy in the park barbecuing on a Sunday afternoon.
Right.
Yeah, that was it.
That was a white on white aspect, but the one white woman stood up for the guy. Well, her Mimi has been showing up all over the Facebook. There was the one where Martin Luther King with the march, and reflecting upon there in D.C. And there was a picture of her calling on the phone, reporting all these black people in the park.
Yeah.
Then there's the wedding of, that we just had, the royal wedding. There she is on the phone calling the cops because there's a black woman in a wedding dress. Oh, they are mercilessly attacking
her.
And you know what? That is the best way to give back. It's with a sense of humor and with gentleness. It is not the right thing to go and be hateful back. But when people, this is what I was trying to say, it's very difficult for some people when they see this kind of behavior happening in front of them, they get afraid and they pull back. Even though they know it's wrong, they just shut up and watch. And we can't do that. We cannot do that. You have to make your stand. You have to stand up and say, "Hey, people, this is wrong. We can't put up with this." You have to be brave enough to do that.
I think I've passed on several weeks ago. I was in the Columbus airport getting ready to fly home back to my family, and there was a Chinese couple, an elderly man and woman. They were, you know, past my age, and I'm 65, and they were speaking Chinese, and they were trying to figure out, you know, were they at the right spot. They were looking at their ticket. They were confused and, you know, a little uncertain because, well, this actually was bigger than I was, but then all of a sudden this smirky-faced asshole looked at me and said, "If you're in this country, you should be speaking English." I looked at him dead in the face, and I said, "You're an asshole. These are Chinese visitors to our country, and you're trying to make them feel like an asshole. Get up," and I said, "F, out of my face."
Mm-hmm.
I made that big man about 2 feet tall as he put his tail between his legs and walked off in embarrassment.
Good for you, Wayne.
The other fact is the majority of immigrants in this country speak more than two languages, most of them. And,
sure.
And most of the whites that are going after these people don't have that much behind them. They couldn't even
tell
you.
They don't have a third grade education, Gwen.
It's incredible to me that anyone would be this way, that would act this way. Whenever I've visited a foreign country, I've always been really polite. I've tried very hard to speak the language or say very politely, "Can you speak English?" You know?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. In my foreign travels, I try to speak the language.
But you know what, too? There are freaking little gadgets now you can buy that will translate exactly what you're saying into the dialect of where you are in Japanese.
That's incredible. It's really good.
Spanish and Portuguese and in Mandarin. And I mean, it's incredible. I've seen one. It's just incredible, and it's wonderful. It's like freaking Star Trek, you know?
Yeah.
It is.
Well, now they're actually trying to make them the size of earbuds so that, you know, the other person has a set and you have a set. I can say in English, but then the earbuds in the other person's ear will translate, and then so they'll hear in their own language what I'm saying and vice versa.
I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine these white dipshit evangelicals visiting the Holy Lands, right? And they can't speak Hebrew. You know, I mean, if you can't speak Hebrew or Farsi or some kind of Middle Eastern language, it gets to be a problem if you really want to see the country. Now, most people over there will speak in English too.
Yes.
But if you are one of these people who gets around, especially if you're over there on a shopping binge, I mean, I've seen it before in Rome. I mean, in Berlin, I've seen these, especially Texans, these people with money in their pocket who want to spend money and expect everyone to come to them. You know, it's infuriating and it's ugly American.
Well, you're not going to make too many friends if you walk through life expecting the world to kiss your ass. That's a fact of life.
Yeah, my mother told me the world does not owe you a living, young lady. You know?
Exactly right.
It's that you owe the world. And it's
yes,
true.
Exactly.
And
nailed it.
And the point is that when we see this going on in our neighborhoods by so few people that are haters like this. You just got to, because the worst thing you can do to a bully who isn't on medication is to stand up and say, excuse me, but no, you don't, not while I'm standing here.
Right.
It does not work, because most of the time they just back away.
Well, ignorance leads people to attack people for no solid reason, for a stupid reason, for a fearful reason, and it's fear and it's ignorance and it's just not smart at all. So these people have got to smarten up, period.
The Republican Party to get their votes today. That's the sick part of my legacy of the Republican Party. That's their go-to move to get votes and to basically get people in there so then they can just screw those who have been voting for them.
Yep.
Well,
the middle class standard of living has sunk since the Reagan period.
Absolutely.
Well, the other part about this, too, we can extend this to our political conversation in this country. So many progressive, decent, good-minded people who are very uber-left, from socialist, communist ideologies to democratic, old Democrat values to, you know, progressive new way of ideals, with so many same core issues in kind that are bickering with one another right now. This division has to stop.
The left has got to unite. It's the only way it can win. They've got to unite.
Yeah.
They cannot bicker about petty little things. They've got to put that beyond them and behind them, and they've got to go forward.
They go out of their way. Case in point, the thing about the monarch and the wedding, you know? I mean, oh, my God, here we are, the end of the hour, gentlemen. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I didn't see that coming.
Good show, folks.
Well, one thing for sure, we always got to remember, not only do we have to keep pushing forward, but we got to remember that one way or another, Trump is going to find a way to poke his head into the headlines this next week, and it's up to us to dispel all the bullshit he's going to try and spew about. So that's my two cents on the whole thing. So anyway, you can read my posts at the Saturday Afternoon Post, and we've always got some good informative stuff there to read, and it's always there. Twice a week I put a post up, so.
Thank you, Jack. And you can find Jack's posts on Facebook with the Here Be Monsters radio page. Wayne, hurry.
Yes.
We only got a few seconds.
I was going to say, and you can find my stories on Minds and Times. That's Wayne Johnson. Check it out. Read him. These are true life stories, my accumulation of things and experiences I had over my many years here on this planet. So, Glenn, right back to you.
And thank
thanks, everybody, for a great show this week. And we hope to see and hear from everybody next week. So, in the meantime, keep pushing forward, everybody, and keep the faith.
Good day.
This has been Here Be Monsters, the Sunday show. And we're out.